Good morning. We're so glad that you've joined us this morning, whether here in person or out online. My name is Paul, and it's my privilege to welcome you this morning. We have just a couple of announcements to go through. First, if you would like to follow along with the service, you can follow along at westminsterpca.net. You can access our bulletin, you can register for the service, and there's also an option for those of you that would like to give online, you can do so through the link on the website. For those of you joining us in person, there's offering plates in the back if you would like to leave an offering for this week. Additionally, I'd like to say thank you to everyone who has been praying for the Cherokee mission trip. We will give a more detailed account of this past week, but all I can say is it was amazing. God blessed us more abundantly than we ever thought or imagined would happen for the week, whether it was in the number of projects we got after, the amount of work that we got done as we were going through the week. And for all of y'all that cooked for us, I gained 3 pounds this last week. So thank you for that. Additionally, if you would like to continue to support the Baby Bottle Boomerang with the Sumter Pregnancy Center, you can do so. You can access the information there on our website. And then two items of note for October 25th, which I think is in 2 weeks. First, Bill and Cheryl Nikitas are missionaries that we support. They're going to be visiting us on the week of the 25th. And Bill is actually going to be preaching that morning. For those of you who know him, it'll give you an opportunity to connect with him while he's here in town visiting. Also, on the afternoon of October 25th, we're going to hold a communion service outside. So we're still working through the details, but you can anticipate around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll gather behind the church building. For those that would like to sit, bring camping chairs. For those who would prefer not to be too close to others, we will make arrangements so that you can stay in your car and still participate in the service. I know that there are several online who would probably be very happy to hear that. So more details are coming, but the afternoon of October 25th. If there's inclement weather, we will move it to the next Sunday, but we will try to get back to observing communion on a regular basis. That's all the announcements that I have this morning. I encourage you to go ahead and take a moment and prepare for worship.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Stuart Mazzell. I'm the pastor here. Thank you for joining us either in person or online. We're really appreciative of all the folks who are gathering together in whatever way you can and you feel comfortable to engage in worship. And that's what we have set apart this time to do, is to worship the God who is worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise because of who he is and because of what he's done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today our call to worship comes from Revelation chapter 15, and it talks about the greatness and the glory and the holiness of our God. And it says this, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Since all nations will come and worship, and we are part of the nation that will come and worship, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ, let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's worship him in the splendor of holiness. Let's give him the glory that he deserves, and let's do that as we sing the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. If you're able, will you please stand? Let's sing this together and worship our God.
Early in the morning, a song shall rise.
be seated. You know, as we think about the holiness of God, which really means that He is set apart from creation. He alone is God, we are not. And set apart from sin. He is good in all of His ways, and there is no evil. There is no unrighteousness. There is no injustice with God. And yet, as we look at ourselves in that mirror, as we look at God and we recognize He is good, and I don't live up to the standard. That is what the Scriptures say, that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why one of the reasons why when we are gathered together, it is appropriate and good for us to confess our sins to God as an act of worship. This isn't just some thing that we read together or we recognize that, okay, we're confessing our sins, blah, blah, blah. No, this is an act of worshiping God by saying, God, I agree with You. You're right. I am a sinner and I do need the Lord Jesus, not only for forgiveness of my sins, but transforming me into a righteous person, a good person. That's the only way that I can be what You called me to be, is through the Lord Jesus. And so as we confess our sins together, we're going to use this prayer that is either printed in your worship guide, or you can look at the screen here. Let's spend some time praying together, confessing our sins by using this prayer. Let's pray this together. A most holy and merciful Father, we confess to You and to one another that we have sinned against You by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not fully loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved You by wasting Your gifts, by wandering from Your ways. Forgive us, most merciful Father, and free us from our sin. Renew in us the grace and strength of Your Holy Spirit. For the sake of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior. Amen. And just as it is an act of worship to confess our sin, it is also an act of worship to confess the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus, the hope that we have in the gospel, the good news of how Jesus came to save sinners. And it's not by our works, but solely, purely by the grace of God, His kindness and love towards us. So let's confess our hope together, church, by reading this confession that is based off of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Let's read this together. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not our own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the good news, that it is solely by the grace of God that we are what we are. And if we are in Christ, it has nothing to do with how smart we are, how good we are, how we belong to the right church, or any of those things. It is solely because God has been gracious to us in Christ. So let's celebrate that as we sing the song, Before the Throne of God Above. If you're able, please stand as we sing.
Whoever lives. Thomas. I'm the youth pastor here at Westminster. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, our life, our lives are truly yours. And your Savior, Christ, our Savior, has brought us into a family that has existed for generations, that will exist until Christ returns and is united in Jesus. Lord, you alone are truly worthy of worship, and we are here to worship you and to sing your praises. So let us have great joy in the salvation brought by Christ, the love that you pour out upon your children. Lord, we come to you asking for many blessings, for it is your hand that provides. Lord, it is your hand that steadies us. It is your hand that lifts us up. And Father, we need your blessings. I pray for those in our church who are sick and unwell. Lord, I ask for healing. For those who have surgeries coming up, I pray for the doctors that they perform the surgeries well, steady their hand, and pray that they may be successful. And I pray for the ministries of this church, from the children's ministries to the youth, to the young adult, to the life groups, to the preaching, to the baby bottle boomerang, the fundraising, Lord, the missions. Father, guide us, lead us. Let's do all these things in the name of the Savior. And pray that your kingdom may go forth from our church. And we pray for our community. I want to pray especially for St. James Lutheran this morning. Pray for Reverend Keith as he preaches. Lord, I ask that you change hearts in his congregation, that they may be zealous in their faith, that they may pursue Jesus and they may pursue others and loving them well. I pray for United Ministries, Lord. I pray for Mark Champagne and the work that he is doing. As these times are uncertain, Lord, give them wisdom and guidance on how to move forward. As they begin to bring volunteers back into the ministry, ask, Lord, that they are able to put the volunteers in the best place that they can serve the ministry in your kingdom well. There is going to be a great potential need on the horizon, and we ask, Lord, that United Ministries will be ready. Pray for their financial situation. I pray that as believers, we will be a community of giving and generosity. Put it in our hearts, Lord. And I pray that his ministry has the funds that they need. They are able to receive the money, Lord, to continue the things that they do, the way that they love those who are lost, love those, Father, who have felt the brunt of sin. Help them, Lord. And as they make ready for their shelter, as they work on building it, I pray that it is built on time, that the money needed to build it will be there. I pray, Lord, for the shelter itself, as it was flooded. I ask, Lord, that the donors that they have lined up are able to follow through to meet their needs. And we want to pray for our sister church in Florence, for Reverend Jordan Gallo. As their financial situation is burdened this year, Lord, it is a common theme. I pray that the congregation is blessed. I pray, Father, that they are generous and giving, and I pray that their ministry needs are met. Lord, I also pray for the young couple in their church who have contracted COVID. Lord, keep them healthy, heal them, keep them safe. And as they look to grow as citizens, as this congregation looks to grow as citizens in the kingdom of heaven, give them that mindset that they look to you in all things, that their heart is set upon you. Father, that is a thing that we ask of ourselves as well. Pray for Stuart as he is about to preach. Lord, I ask that we are ready to hear your word. Convict us of our sins. Comfort us in our brokenness. Encourage us in the gospel. And Lord, I pray if Stuart preaches anything that is false or untrue, that it falls upon deaf ears. But I also pray that he may be bold in the spirit and carried by your grace and love. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to turn in a Bible if you'd like to follow along. Of course, you can look up here on the screen. To the book of Ephesians, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. What we're doing today is continuing our series on unity. We've looked at various things over the past few weeks. We've looked at Psalm 133, and we've seen that unity is good and pleasant. When we dwell together in unity, that is good. It's something to be treasured and pursued. We've seen that unity begins and ends with Jesus. And if we are going to grow in unity, it must start and end with Christ. We've seen that unity is thinking in terms not of me versus you or us versus them, but thinking in terms of us, because we are all, if we're in Christ, we are all one in the Lord Jesus. And then last week we saw that unity in the church, unity in the body of Christ, is one of Jesus' deepest desires for his people, as he prayed for it in John 17. And today we're going to be looking at what the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus about, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today in and through and by this word. So let's listen to what
the Spirit has to say to us. From Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, writes, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Let's pray. Lord, there is so much that is said in this short passage. And even though I'm only going to be able to deal with a small bit of it today, will you bless what we are about to do? Holy Spirit, will you open our ears and open our minds and open our hearts to receive what you have for us? And cause us to see our unity in Christ and our destiny of full unity in a new heaven and new earth that Jesus will bring about. And cause us to live in a manner that's truly worthy of the gospel, the good news that our Lord Jesus was willing to die for us and rise from the dead for us to make us His forever. Help us to live out that good news in such a way that we show our unity in Christ in the bond of peace by the Holy Spirit. And we ask this, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our one true God, for your glory, for our good, and for the good of the world around us. Amen. You know, as we look at our society, there is no doubt that we live in a society that is enamored with instancy. In other words, ours is an instant society. We do not like to wait. We do not like to show patience. We do not like to engage in anything that might take time. We, like Freddie Mercury from the band Queen, we want it all, and we want it now. You You know how I know that? Well, all you have to do is look at the way we live. We don't want to use snail mail to get our order delivered. When I was a kid, they had these offers in cereal boxes. You know, you would tear off a little thing and then you'd send it in, and a few weeks later you would get a prize. A few weeks. Goodness. Who wants to wait a few weeks for something when now all you have to do is press a button and you can get next day delivery, or even better yet, pay a little extra and you can get same day delivery. Right? Or, you know, back in the day when I wanted to get my favorite band's newest album, I'd have to get in a car, drive to a store, wait in line, find the album, get the album, bring it home, unwrap the album, put it on the record player, and listen to it. And some of you are like, record player, what is that? Now all you have to do is get out your smartphone, press a button, and instantly you have the album of any band you want, instantly to listen to, right? And then you see these ads for how, if you want to lose weight, don't bother dieting and exercising. No, you want it fast. Take this pill and the pounds will shed overnight. Right? Or if you're feeling tired, you don't need a nap. You don't need to change your schedule. You don't need to try to stop burning the candle from both ends. No, what you need is an energy drink, and it gives you instant energy immediately for what you need right now. And then think about how it used to be, like when I was a kid, if we had to do a report, some of us had to go to the library and we had to find an encyclopedia or books, I mean actual books, and flip through them and read things, or maybe look in the card catalog for something. And now when you need to do a report, all you have to do is type in on Google what you're looking for, and suddenly, boom, everything you really want to know and a lot of things you don't want to know are right there at your fingertips, right? And some of us are waiting for the day when we get one of those head jacks in the back of your head, like in the movie Matrix, where we can just, you know, plug it in and upload whatever we need to do so we can learn kung fu or learn how to fly a helicopter just like that. We are an instant society. And one of the things that is really hard for church, for people in an instant society, is to embrace process. Ugh. Just the word process makes my skin crawl a little bit. Especially when someone says, we're in this for the long haul process. I mean, think about what's going on right now in our country, in our world, with this pandemic. We're hearing from some major epidemiologists that we have reached the stage of pandemic fatigue. Rather than us wanting to work through the process of finishing out what we need to do in order to try to keep things as good as we can in our nation, in our world, we've reached a point where we're like, I don't care anymore. Can we just get this over with? You know how many conversations I've had recently with people who said, you know, I don't care anymore. Just let me go to find someone who has COVID and I'll lick them and then I'll get COVID and get it over with. Okay, maybe not the licking part, but you know what I mean. Process is hard for us in an instant society. It just is. And unfortunately for us, the pursuit of unity in the church is a process. The pursuit of unity in the church is a process. It's not instantaneous. It's not something that you take a pill and it happens overnight. It's not something that I can just preach one sermon or even one series and suddenly everybody in the whole world is unified in the church. No, it just doesn't work that way. The pursuit of the unity in the church is a process. I mean, think about what Paul says in this passage in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, where he says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, he gave them to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what that's describing? Process. I mean, what this passage is telling us is that the church needs to be equipped. Process. You're not equipped by sticking the jack in the back of your head and you learn it instantly. No, there is work that has to be done. It's a process. The body needs to be built up, according to this passage. That's process. Rome wasn't built in a day. The church isn't going to be built in a day. Unity will not be built in a day. Until we attain to the unity of the faith is the phrase that Paul uses here. That's process. And this unity of the faith is described in terms of maturity. Again, process. You don't come out of the womb instantly an adult. You have to grow over years and years. It's a process to reach maturity. And even some adults never seem to really get it. They may be mature physically, but not necessarily mature mentally or emotionally. Yeah, this passage tells us that we're not to be children any longer. Again, process. We're not to be tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. No, we are to grow up. Process. The pursuit of unity is a process. And you know what that means? It means it's going to take time. It's going to take work and effort. It's going to be challenging at times. And there's going to be difficulties that we're going to have to face. And there will be times when it seems like it will never get here. But it's process. When it comes to the way we live and interact with one another in the church, there is no such thing as instant unity. There was a time when I will say for sure that I hated the word process. Absolutely hated it. And some of that happened when, as some of you know, I have gone to a counselor for for several different things, but mainly for depression and anxiety. And the counselor keeps telling me, it's a process, Stuart. You're not going to get over this overnight. You've spent 40-some years with these thinking patterns and these emotional patterns and all these things that you've brought into your life, you're not going to get over it overnight. And you know what not my response verbally, but my response mentally is? But that's what I want. I want to get over it overnight. Can't you just do something? I mean, hypnotize me or something. I mean, anything that will get me from point A to point B faster. And that's what we want. And even in the church, that's what we want. We want maturity now. We want growth now. We want unity now. And I'm telling you, the pursuit of unity is a process. Even if we don't like the process, it's still a process. And this process was initiated and is overseen by King Jesus. Okay, this process isn't just something that, like, you know, church leaders made up. Oh, let's see how we can try to, you know, make our congregation really frustrated. Let's make unity a process. No, there's no dark shadow conspiracy behind disunity in the church. Jesus himself initiated this process. As this passage says, verse 7, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then further down in verse 11, he says, and he, that is Jesus, he is the one who gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of the faith. My job as your pastor is to help equip you for the work of ministry, to help build up the church until we reach the unity of the faith. But that's process. But let's remember, it's Jesus' process. Jesus is the one who established this process. The same one who prayed that we would be united is the same one who began the process of making sure that we would grow up into unity. As this passage keeps on going, in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, I would love to just spend some time there, but maybe we'll have to come back to that later. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. And this is classic Paul, where you have to like really focus, because he's like all over the place with his phrases and the sentences go on and on and on. If he, you know, if my English teacher in high school was to grade Ephesians, she would like, you got to change this. This is hard to follow. But what he says is, we are to grow up into the head, that is, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I don't know if you understand this, but what he's basically saying is, it's Christ who makes the body grow by us being what we're supposed to be as each part works. In other words, Christ is the power and the ability and the energy that is needed for us to attain unity, and he calls us to join in that process, to work together so that we will build ourselves up in love. We couldn't do that apart from Jesus. But because of Jesus, we are enabled to do it, we can do it, and eventually it will happen. But it's process. And look, I'm not trying to be gruesome here, but the idea of Christ is our head and we are the body, if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense in the analogy that he's giving, because you lose the head, the body doesn't work anymore. Now, you can lose an arm and the body will still work. It won't work as effectively. It won't work as well, but it will still work. You can lose a leg. The body will still work, even if it's not as efficient. But you lose the head, body is dead. And that analogy is good for us to remember, because Christ, Jesus, the King, the one who initiated this process and the one who oversees the process now, is the source of our spiritual power. He is our ability to grow into maturity. He is our ability to attain to the unity of the faith. And so as we abide in Jesus, as we cling to Jesus, as we grow up in Jesus, we'll attain to that unity. You know, I don't know if you've ever been a part of an orchestra or a band or anything like that, But if everybody just tuned their instrument to themselves and never really listened to anyone else, and then they all got together and they played, it would sound horrible. What you do when you're a part of a band, when you're part of an orchestra, is you tune to a standard tuning. And if everybody tunes to that standard tuning, then everybody plays in harmony, everybody's together, everybody's connected. It sounds good. Why? Because they're not tuning to themselves, they're tuning to the standard. And that's what this passage is really getting at. We are tuning ourselves to Jesus, the standard. We are growing up into Jesus. And as we, each one of us, do that, then we'll find ourselves coming together more and more in unity. In other words, a lot of times disunity happens when we're trying to tune ourselves to ourselves rather than to Jesus. So Jesus is the one who initiates this process of reaching unity. But we do need to remember this, and this is something that by me emphasizing how much of a process it is, we can forget this. But whether we realize it or not, Christians are united. Christians are united in Christ by the Spirit. We are. And we have to remember that. That's foundational. Verse 4 of this passage, there is one body, there's one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There isn't 50 million bodies, there's one body, right? There's not 100 different lords, there's one Lord. And we are all one because the Holy Spirit resides in each one of us, connecting us to Jesus. We're connected to God the Father through Jesus, and that means we're all His body, we're His family, we're His temple, we're His church, we're His people, we're one. We're all connected. But at the same time, and this is where I'm going to get at with the process, at the same time, we are also called to be eager to maintain that unity. Yes, we all already are one in Christ, but we are called to be eager to maintain that unity and to work together for its mature and complete fullness. As Paul says in this passage, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager. We're eager to maintain the unity we already have in the Spirit. And then he goes on again in verse 11, and he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. This is what we do. What we do. We speak the truth in love. And then we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when every part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up in love. In other words, if there's disunity in the church, It's not Jesus' fault. It's not Jesus' fault. There's a part that's not working properly. Maybe it's because we're not speaking the truth in love to one another. Maybe we're not really eager for unity. Maybe we don't really know how to engage in unity because we haven't been equipped to do that. But whatever the problem really may be, the point is that we are to be eager to maintain the unity that we have in Christ by the Spirit, and we are to work together for the building up of Christ so that we attain unity, the unity that Jesus prayed for. So let me ask you a few questions. How eager are you for unity in the church? I said on the very first sermon of this series that whenever someone starts talking about unity, you run the risk of stirring up division. Just because you start pressing, this is something that Jesus wants of us. He wants us to be unified. And sometimes what happens in us is we say, deep down, but I don't want to be unified. Not with them. Not with him. What, with her? No way. I don't want to be unified with those folks. So how eager are we to maintain the unity of the body? And if we have to work together, how much time and effort are we willing to put into pursuing the fullness of the unity of the faith? You know, it is easy to talk about unity. It is much harder to pursue it. And it's easy to rail against unity by saying, well, you know, they don't believe the same things that we believe, so we don't need to pursue unity with them. No, that's what this passage is about. Some want to attain to the unity of the faith, right? And how are we going to attain to that unity if we don't work together to try to get there? If I just say, well, you know, they believe that, so I'm just not going to pay attention to them, and I'm just going to focus on the people who believe what I believe already. How is that pursuing unity? It's not. We have to be able to engage with one another and say, this is what the scriptures say. This is the gospel. I'm speaking the truth in love to you because I want you to be right in your beliefs. I want you to be right in your behavior, not according to my standard, but according to the standard of the scriptures. That's what I want, and I love you, and because I love you, I'm willing to tell you, hey, your view of God is not quite right there. And on the flip side, I'm willing to receive correction when I'm wrong. There's a humility, a gentleness, a speaking the truth in love to each other that we all have to embrace in order to really see unity. In other words, just like any other process, it's going to take time and it's going to take work. And in an instant society, both those things are anathema. Both those things are things we would just rather throw out. I don't want to take a lot of time. I don't want to do a lot of work. Give me something I can press the easy button and make it happen. All right, so some of you know that when I was younger, I had a dream of being a rock star. And one of my heroes of the rock world was a guy named Eddie Van Halen, guitarist for the band Van Halen. And maybe you heard that he died this past week at age 65 after battling cancer. Honestly, when I was a teenager, Eddie Van Halen was one of my heroes. He has been touted as one of the greatest guitarists of all time, and I can readily attest he is the kind of guitar player, I mean, he could probably play anything he put his mind to. That's just how good he was. In an article years ago, they asked him some questions about his skill and levels. Now, you may not know this, but Eddie, because we're like this, I can call him Eddie, he started off on the piano, being classically trained. And then he heard a band, and he thought, ooh, you know, I like that. And he got a drum set. And so he started off playing the drums. And then one day he came home and heard his brother playing the drums, and his brother was actually better than him on the drums. And he's like, well, okay, I guess I'll play guitar now. Because, you know, that's how brothers work. And he started playing guitar, and his dad recognized he had talent and encouraged him in it. Okay? But he said in this interview, I wasn't born Eddie Van Halen, you know, rock star. I wasn't born successful or famous. It took years of dedication and practice. In fact, one of the things that he said in one of the interviews is that his brother Alex would go out to party at 7 p.m. on Friday night. I mean, as teenagers, think about this. They went out to party. Well, Alex went out to party and left Eddie sitting on his bed playing his guitar. 7 p.m. Alex would come back at 3 a.m. after a night of partying, and Eddie was still there playing his guitar. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's about 8 hours of just sitting there and playing. And he did that night after night after night. He did that for years before he became the Eddie Van Halen that the rock world celebrates. Now, why am I telling you this story? Anything that is worthwhile is going to take time, and it's going to take effort. And unity of the church is worthwhile, much more worthwhile than playing Eruption on the guitar. If you don't know what Eruption is, Google it. Amazing guitar solo. Much more important, the unity of the faith is something that's going to take time, it's going to take effort, because it's a process, and we want to eagerly engage in that process to see Jesus' prayer come to fruition. So, let's eagerly engage. Let's eagerly engage in the process of pursuing the fullness of our unity in Christ, knowing that Jesus is really the force behind that moving forward in unity. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful. Thankful that you have given us your word. Thankful that the Lord Jesus is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one who has died for us and risen from the dead for us to make us one, to tear down the boundaries that separate us and to bring us together as one body. Will you help us to take the time, to make the effort, to pursue the process of attaining to the unity of the faith? And Lord, we know there are difficulties, there are problems, there are issues that we don't even know how to resolve or solve, but we look to you in faith, knowing that you will fulfill this calling in us. Make us willing, make us eager, and give us not that desire for instantaneous gratification, but a willingness to just persevere and move forward step by step until we reach full unity of the faith, not being tossed to and fro, but being one. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we close our service today, let's stand if you're able, and let's sing together the song Bond of Peace. God of endurance and encouragement, grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.